Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Beyond. Beyond. Beyond. Beyond. Beyond. Beyond.
On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sour in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and welcome to Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio, and actually on wolfspirit.tv, but really because we're not doing video and we're not going on Google, I'm just going to have to ask everybody to come, so I'm going to leave this video on, come to wolfspiritradio.com/listen, and we can convene there and enjoy our round table, which is an audio only round table because we're going over telephones and things like that. So thus obviating video. I'll have it up on YouTube in a few hours time. So thank you very much, everybody on YouTube. Come and get us on Wolf Spirit Radio. Wolf Spirit Radio, if not Ever Beyond Radio. Also, we'll have live feeds. Thank you very much. Okay, so that's the announcement for the Google Hangout and the live YouTube, and that will keep running. And I'd like to welcome there we are. All right, let's there's Tolek. All right, just while he picks up the call, because Tolek actually came in on the Google, and there we go. So I'd like to start introducing everybody. Maybe I'll do it one by one this time. And from top left, as we as he comes on, Tolek, good afternoon. Welcome to Ever Beyond. We're live on the air. You can see who's on. In the call here, and good afternoon and welcome. Do you want to sort of give yourself a little intro or a catch up on what you've been up to the last few days? You're on the spot. Oh no, we got a call issue there. Tolek.
JP, this is Tolek.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi there. I'm okay. I don't know what kind of noise you can hear in the background, but the internet at the community I live in went down 3 days ago, and so I'm at a Dunkin' Donuts down the street. It's the best I could get.
Well done to Dunkin' Donuts. It's yes. All right. Have you got your headset and stuff?
Yeah, I have a headset, microphone attached, little foam mitten on the microphone, but there's still background music and noise.
Oh, that's right. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. And if you mute during times when you're not speaking, that'll be great.
Okay.
Everybody, if you ask Tolek a question, give a couple of seconds for him to unmute his mic to answer. So, we've lost Tolek. We've lost Simon. Further on down the road, let's keep going. Wim Keats, do you want to say hello?
Hi, JP. Yes, I'm here, good and strong. And it's good to be back, and it's fantastic to be on the show with Alex again.
Indeed. And Alex Collier, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
We're all good. How's yourself?
You? I'm good. I'm good today. Thank you.
So, we've lost Simon. I'm just going to try and bring you back into the call.
Here he comes.
There we go. We'll see. Yeah. No, he's on the, alright, so Simon's been hit with his microwave beams, and I was hoping to ask him about Shungite, and we'll see how that is later.
He really has been cooked. I did an EMF sweep of his house, and the levels in the room that he calls from are 100 times the safe level. They really are beaming him.
My gosh. So, I mean, Alex doesn't really know what this was about, but basically, Alex, Simon Parks was being beamed at from a transmission tower very close to him. Wynne is an electromagnetic expert, and he took his meters round to his house.
So and it's bizarre. It's in a band between his knee height and his head height in his room only, and it's a very tight beam and very powerful.
Wow. Sounds like desperation.
Yeah, and it's it can't be good for him, and obviously not very good for his electronics.
Oh no, no, of course not. I'm sure it's affecting his body dramatically.
Yes, I'd seen a similar effect on it with a friend of mine's house, but at a level 20 times less than Simon's, and that was sufficiently powerful that it was re-radiating from all the metal objects in his house, including the radiators and even his metal bedstead. His metal bedstead was emitting enough Wi-Fi range frequency equivalent to 100 Wi-Fi transmitters, and that's nowhere near the strength of the signal that's going through Simon's room. It's amazing.
Good Lord.
So Alice, go ahead.
I was just going to say we need to do something to help them.
Yeah, we've identified where the signal is, so we can try to avoid it now, and I'm quite adept at manufacturing industrial quantities of organite. we're doing our best, and,
excellent.
And I think he's contacting the appropriate authorities to try and get them to stop radiating him.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I would say.
So, just before we started the show, Wynn was talking to me about the Lyran trauma, which is a video I did last week, which related memories that are coming up within me and feelings that are coming up within me, about what has happened over the last billion or so years. I don't even know the time scale. Now I know that Morinay has spoken to you about, some of this, Alex. Do you want to tell us a little bit about from the Morinay's perspective, and also do the Andromedans originate in Lyra as well?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sure what perspective you want regarding what. You didn't, I mean, if you're referring to Lemuria, which was the first thing you said, I don't really know that much about Lemuria.
No, the reptilian attack on Lyra.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they do have a perspective on that. And yes, most of the human life, in our galaxy originated in Lyra. But it was brought to Lyra from other star systems, from other galaxies rather. Okay. Human life did not originate in this galaxy. It came from other places. And it's believed that a group of very advanced beings known as the Founders, a.k.a. the P'tal, were the ones to help seed the universe with different life forms. And that would be all life forms. Now, from what I have been told, and this information, isn't new. I've shared it, I don't know, 25 years now. They came across the Lyran star system, and they were very intrigued, the reptilians, with the star system and the life that was there. So what they did was, there was an attempted contact, and because of the difference in the way they looked and the difference with the way they handled themselves, the difference with their ships, as such, there was a misunderstanding. The Lyrans interpreted the first contact as a threat, and they reacted as such. The reptilian races, however, did not make matters better at all either. Being an aggressive war race, instead of taking some steps back, they overreacted themselves and actually began attacking the outer planets and moons that had small colonies on them first. And then what they did was they waited to see what kind of a reaction they would get from the larger planets. In other words, they were testing the defenses of the Lyrans. For the most part, the Lyrans themselves didn't have defenses. They didn't think they ever needed it. Excuse me. They hadn't been threatened before. Excuse me. Other than, you know, maybe rogue asteroids or comets or meteor showers, things of that nature, which are fairly common throughout the galaxy. And when they didn't get a response, the reptilians, when they did not, the draconians didn't get a response, a military response, they became more and more emboldened. But they were still very careful, but they did a systematic attack. At the same time, the Lyrans realized that they were in serious trouble, and what they began to do was to build arcs. And they had many ships at the time, but they're not ships that we would understand as today. What they did was they had used moons and very large asteroids. They would hollow them out, and they would build the craft on the inside because they didn't have the raw materials to build the metal shielding and housing. So they would use, you know, what was available. And they began to migrate as the attacks became more and more systematic and began to come in deeper into the Lyran system. They decided that we needed to get out, and they got out as many as they could, which is literally forced the migration and the eventual population of parts of the galaxy with human life. It literally forced the issue. So whether that was on purpose or not remains to be seen, but something extremely positive came out of it. And many of the different races that we have today, human races of different color, of different genetic makeup, is in fact the result of that conflict in the Lyran system.
Thank you.
Alex, this is Tolek. How long ago was this? We're talking millions, as we would calculate time, millions of years?
Yeah, in Earth years, we're probably talking about 630 million years is when it first started.
Wow.
Yeah, long time ago. But that's in Earth years.
So here's my point in this. I think one of the problems that happened was that there was this first attack, you know, from the outside, it's destroying a planet. But from the Lyran's perspective, it was like cutting off their arm. Or some other very important body part. Because it was because everybody was telepathically connected with each other. Like when you see, in Star Wars and, Darth Vader destroys Alderaan, you see Princess Leia flinch like Simmons punched her in the stomach. That's what it felt like.
I would agree because everybody does in fact have a symbiotic relationship. And, when you're talking about a star system and everybody's in contact with each other, yes, there is a connection. But it was more than just cutting off an arm. It turned into an extermination. And everybody knew it. So, which is why they bailed. They left. They were not in a position, they weren't used to thinking defensively, they were not, their scientists were dealing with healing arts, healing sciences, environmental sciences, things that the sciences were, their focus was on making their civilization flourish, and more healthy and more spiritual and more evolved. So this, they were on the right side of the tracks, where the reptilian races, though they could move to the right, they were predominantly on the left. Their whole deal turned into a control issue, and they didn't look back. They didn't look back.
Thank you.
That's how it's been explained to me. For that whole conflict. And there has been this attitude regarding humans ever since. A disdain, a disrespect that, that we're weak, that we're not strong, that, we are a weaker race, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, all of that is a fallacy. But it's just a mindset, you know, it's just a mindset. So they have a lot of the same issues we do.
I see. I very much agree with this. And what I'm discovering is that all of these races have a trauma that informs their behavior. That then they go out and then they express that trauma onto others. And to, like some, you know, I was looking at the Lyran trauma. Now I'm looking at the other perspective of the reptilians, and why were they such badass? And their feeling of being abandoned. Yeah, so you were saying.
They were brought here from somewhere else, and it could be that the history of their archetype, which we don't know, or I certainly don't know, the A's don't exactly know their entire history, where they came from, but that's probably what happens. Maybe they were brought here to be given a chance to, heal, and it just didn't happen. I don't know. But there was a lot of projection of whatever happened before, they projected on everyone here. So.
Yeah, my understanding, Alex, is I came in rather later. I came in about 120 million years ago. And my understanding from that perspective then was that we believe the reptilian race had been genetically engineered, brought through from another universe, and they were also AI nanobots augmented. They were designed as a warrior caste by another species. And right. we had no concept or knowledge of that species that created them, but they certainly carried that perspective forwards.
There are races that the A's talk to that share that opinion.
Yeah, that's pretty much my memory. Yeah, the other information I had from that time was that the founder race you were talking about, that approximately 5,000 of them effectively crash-landed on the planet we're on now, approximately 500 million years ago, so in the middle of this time scale, where most of them died, but some of them actually did reconfigure themselves to live here in a very primitive form, but that became part of the simian line, and they conveyed the metagene they brought with them to the simian line, which became hybridized with the humans here on Earth later on.
Oh my God. Does that mean that the Rh positives have that metagene bloodline?
Yes.
Boom. Thank you. I am going to be speaking with the aforementioned Eva Semenova. She's the one who brought this information in.
I've heard Eva talking about it. She's the only person I've heard talking about that information correctly.
She's very, very quietly spoken. She's got a really heavy accent, and I'm going to very gently talk with her, and we're going to tell this story as well. So thanks for bringing that one up, Wynn, because there's so many people from so many different streams all here at the same time. And another thing that I wanted to sort of have as a seed topic is the time of the crossing. We are here at the time of the crossing. So, someone who hasn't spoken yet, who is on a really patchy internet, so we've got to make the most of when you're on. Simon, good afternoon. Simon Parks.
Hello, JP. Yes, it's the usual story, isn't it? The call's dropped 5 times since I've been on, so it's pretty poor. I'll just say a little bit before I get cut off again.
Well, look, when you get cut off, just pick up your blower. We'll pick you up, okay?
Yeah, okay, probably the best bet. Obviously, I only picked up a few bits and pieces there, but when it's interesting, when a soul is incarnating or intends to incarnate on Earth, and they're coming from the Lyran system, they will go to the Pleiadians for training. They'll incarnate into a Pleiadian body first because they need to understand how to survive and to be strong. But some of the, and this isn't meant rudely at all, some of the Pleiadians are quite arrogant.
Yes, Simon. I mean, obviously, in the events after the Lyran conflict, at one point the Palladians were becoming the dragons we were fighting.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we lost Simon again. that was
okay. Well, there's
Alex.
Yeah, he refers to an arrogant bunch, and that is the mindset of a specific group. Out of Aldebaran, they're a pretty rough bunch.
Yeah.
And, they're definitely rough around the edges. And, they have a very strong opinion about how they think things should be. And in many places, it's their way or the highway. So.
I'm back now.
Welcome back again. All right. Yeah. So
the only little bit I wanted to say before I get cut off yet again. About the, I think it, for me, it's very important. I think I heard Wynn talking about what we call the founders. You see, they contain 12 strands of DNA. And that's so important because that is what the reptilians were after. And the little bit I know, was that the onboard computer of the craft attempted to, reconfigure everything down to a sort of a 3D format. And most of the crew or passengers were lost because it's such a huge jump to go from 12th dimension down to third. But that was originally arriving here with the 12 strands of DNA, which the reptilian task force tricked the people to lose. So, from the little bits right. I did pick up, that's what I heard. So this was really good stuff.
Yes, indeed. This is a really, really important story because this is our true history, that which has been denied to us and that we've also forgotten due to this trauma. And, it's been a very long, strange journey personally for me to arrive here to discuss this with you guys at this time. And I'm sure we've all got stories of strange journeys, yeah. And everybody who's listening as well. So here we are. What do we do with this moment, brothers?
Well, I think we plot a positive course forwards and we make the planet the way it should be. And I think we return to living with our hearts.
Well, yes, I would have to agree with Wynn. You know, first we need to decide what is it that we want? And, you know, symbiotically, if we're all thinking we want something better and positive, we will begin to create that and begin to manifest it physically. But we have to get into that place. And in order to be able to get into that place of creating something positive, we have got to see what fear is for what it really is. We have got to see what the regressives are and how they operate strictly out of a place of fear. We need to absolutely identify what the issues are that hold us back and then know how to deal with it, how to confront it, as opposed to allowing ourselves to move into that fear and not remain the observers or, in fact, the creators of our future. As long as we allow others to make decisions for us, they're going to create a reality that we are going to manifest physically because we're the creators. They're just leading, they're just driving the cart, you know. But it's not working out for us. It really isn't. Because I don't know many beings that are truly, truly happy with the direction things are going on this planet. And if things were going that well, we would not have the armadas of benevolent forces in our solar system. So clearly things are not going well. They're going awry. And, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the thing I've noticed that increasing is that people are actually, their cellular memories are waking up now. I mean, you've just had it, JP. I've had it for some time.
Holy crap, yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is a process that's spreading around humanity. And I think once we remember who we are and we remember how it could be, I think that's going to be a very positive force for helping project that as a creational energy forwards.
Right. When I this is totally like I happen to agree. Alex, when you're saying us and we, I take it you're talking about we as the diverse group of human beings on this planet collectively as a global society. But in fact, we have all of these different cultures and races that are occupying this planet. And unfortunately, we have, you know, the minions or the lieutenants, if you will, of the reptilians who are still in control, who are leaving these large fear breadcrumbs, if you will, you know, called terror attacks, bombing attacks. And they're all, let me try this again. They may not all be triggered, planned, psyops, special forces guys, but I would say that likely a lot of these people are triggered and programmed. And guys, jump in if you'd like to. I believe that, you know, upwards of 20 years ago, we had maybe one or two events like this. And I think it started with the grammar school kids, Columbine, Colorado, and Oklahoma City, and, you know, the list goes on and on. I saw a number recently that indicated that we've had like 20 plus some odd shootings, bombings, killings on a mass scale. 20 plus in about a year and a half. Unprecedented, off the charts. And I'm bringing this up because there are so many people that emotionally dive into the, oh, this is tragic, this is so sad. Well, yes, it's tragic and sad, but they're not asking, why are these kinds of events happening? They immediately go into, and I get out in public, so I hear what people are saying. And what they're talking about is, oh, well, you know, we got a race problem, and oh, the poor police, you know, the police are here to defend our society. And it's all, look over here, you know, look to the left. When the issues are really right in front of us, there's a group of people that is in the remaining power vacuum that's doing whatever they can to keep people in fear. You know, referring back to your comment, Alex. And the more fear that they can generate and perpetuate, the more that this remaining dark group that works in the shadows up at the top can control different populations. And that's why we're seeing these things happen in Europe, here now in the States, in Africa. It's almost global.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about wars. I'm talking about, you know, what are called terrorist attacks or bombings or mass shootings. Wynn, go ahead.
I think what is very telling, which shows really who's behind this, is that they're just doing more of the same. They have very little imagination, if any. And I think that's a very big indicator as to what this really is. It's just more of the same.
Right. But it's almost scripted. It's like whenever there's a moment of quiet and peace and silence, then they trigger another one.
Well, they're doing it on purpose. You go from being calm to going to extreme fear. They like to swing the emotions from one extreme to the other. Now, when you say persons, let me just clarify this, that this group that we're referring to are beings. Some of them are human. Many of them are not. Okay. Right. But you got to understand that we are a collection of 22 different races, our DNA. Okay? And folks, this is just what it is. We are a Heinz 22. We have all these different races. And if we leap from third density to fifth density, which is apparently our destiny, we change everything. We change all of these races because the energy that will come from through us will go back to the home worlds. There is no way to stop that because it's a symbiotic relationship. And they're terrified, the beings who are, know that are running this planet, who see this holographically, they are terrorized because they will be completely isolated and then they're done. They will just literally implode on themselves because they cannot hold this frequency.
No.
So
they not only can't hold it, they can't tolerate it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can't.
So it's remarkable. We are so more powerful than we realize. And there's so much more to us than we realize. Which is why everybody's here to try to help us. It's just, you know, we have to step up. We have got to step up. And I've been saying this for months. We have to start thinking differently about our environment, about our planet, about our creation. We have to start thinking differently about ourselves. And all of this race war, this is all, it's all Bravo Sierra. What they're trying to do is keep us divided because that keeps them in power.
That's right.
All right, guys, you take over.
And Tolik again, and I'll be brief. Without interjecting any ego into this, and I mean this sincerely, we are doing something about this. In this case, the collective we is those of us who are openly discussing this on what is a non-commercial radio format. But there's only so far a small percentage of the whole global population that's listening to us. So we are, you know, if you will, the vanguard of change. We're the vanguard of positive change by providing realistic, if you will, real-time information about what's really going on. Now, if you will, we're doing our jobs, if that's the way we see it. Now, it's up to the people out there listening in internet land, if you will, to do their job and listen, if they so choose. But, you know, Alex, like you've identified many times, each of us are sovereign individuals, and we have the right to free will choice. And it is certainly a question in terms of how many of the people on this planet are going to choose to evolve in part of that higher dimension shift.
We don't need everybody. We don't need everybody to get it. We don't. So we just don't. You know, very, very soon there's going to be some event, and it's probably going to be, I'm not sure if it's going to be Nibiru or if it's going to be a worldwide sighting of a fleet of starships, but there's going to be an event that is going to shift everyone's perspective. And it'll be from there that this, what we're talking about, these things that we're talking about is really going to make huge leaps and bounds. It's coming. It's inevitable. I just don't know what it looks like yet.
So it'll kind of go from, you know, the quiet chat rooms to public, you know, vocal public discussion, serious discussion, debate about all of these things that we openly talk about.
Exactly. I mean, just think about the whole world seeing starships. We're automatically going to know we're not alone. That shifts the conversation forever. It does, you know, and then we'll all be on the same page. And it really won't matter who's in the ships. Okay. What's really going to matter is the fact that now the conversation's changed and we all begin to see ourselves differently. So that's huge. That leap by itself would literally keep the genie out of the bottle forever.
Yeah, when people start asking, well, who are they? So those of us are going to say, well, which who?
Yeah, exactly.
Which ones? Here's our list. You know, it's like, here's the menu. Which ones do you want to talk about? Which dimensions? Dimensions? You know, I can imagine those first set of conversations. They're going to be some people picking up phones calling some of us.
Well, yeah, that's true. But at the same time, you know, the conversation can be, well, I wonder what they think of us. And we can really seriously begin to look at ourselves because now we know that another perspective exists and they're not us. And they will have a perspective about how we treat each other, how we live, what we're doing to our environment. We can seriously begin to have that conversation because we know another perspective exists. And, you know, that takes everything to a whole new level.
It certainly does. And this, Alex, is exactly the reason why we have you here. Because, you know, out of anybody that we know, you were the first person, to describe that exact event of learning something from a new perspective, and how much of a shock it was for you personally?
I'm still not right.
Still reeling, yeah, exactly. And it won't stop until you've told all the stories. You see, that's why you need us, and why we need you.
Man, I'm not touching that one.
I appreciate that. I do, really. Yeah,
if I may, I'd like to. This is Dolok again. Just briefly, I'd like to make a point. I was out here in the world working a few days ago, and as I said to Simon, I was ousted from my community simply because our internet went down 3 or 4 days ago, courtesy of Comcast. It's now working. So I've been working in a local Dunkin' Donuts and have heard...
You're a data refugee.
Yes. A couple of new shooting events. One happened in the States, and this is like within 4 days. One happened within the States, and one recently happened in Germany. And at the one... And there... This Dunkin' Donuts was half full of people, and they were all looking up at the CNN screen, which is playing the story over and over and over and over again. And I had the thought, it was one of those deep intuitive knowings. I'm like, this game is almost over. Why? Because we are now, and now I'm going to, if you will, invoke, she's still alive, so it's not the memory, but I'll invoke the words of Carol Rosen. There will be 5 cards that will be played. Right now, we're almost at the peak of the terrorism card, that the global powers, the one that operate in the dark, the shadow beings, if you will. They're almost at the peak of the terrorism card. The next card they're going to try to play is the open invasion, false flag. They're here. That's the point when the whole thing's going to start to fall into place, if you will, and cascade. That will actually be the beginning of the end when that first false flag is announced. Because I can almost guarantee all of you and everybody else out there that we won't be hearing about, if you will, the benevolent, the good guy ETs first. The powers that be are going to announce somebody, likely the reptilians or some hybrid version of theirs, that have been here on planet for a long time. And they'll trot them out, and they'll look human, but they'll likely be hybrids. They'll promise a lot of things they'll never deliver on. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Can I quickly come in? First of all, and I think many of us will know this, that the major governments have been sort of asked to declare the truth and have reneged on it. And it's now to the position where they've all been given an ultimatum to bring forth disclosure. And if they don't, then disclosure will be brought forward without their say-so. And the difference there is that if the Earth governments controlled disclosure, then they can manage the situation. If it's taken out of their hands, they can't. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is that the false flag is a very real option, because if benevolent off-planet entities are going to disclose, then what the elite on the planet will try and do is get in just a few hours before with the false flag, and they will use robotic greys, which they have in some underground facilities. They will use the first generation of triangle craft, and they will have mock-up scenes of combat between American soldiers and these aliens. The difficulty for them is that Putin in Russia is not going to play that game. The original plan was that the major countries of the world would all agree to that. But there are major countries now that are not going to play the game. So it's going to basically be America and Britain following suit, and perhaps Australia and Canada. So it's not going to be the easy program that these psychopaths had actually planned for. The other thing that I will say is that we haven't talked about a potential economic blip occurring. That also is programmed to come in as well. And Tolek's points sadly is accurate, that so many people don't seem to see the truth, they don't seem to be able to respond. But you know, when all the cash machines turn themselves off, when the banks close their doors, when there are disruptions to communications, people, I hope, will not just look around and say, what's going on? I hope they'll say, what sort of life have I got? What sort of person am I? Is this the right way to elect my leaders? Are my values right? Now, I'm hoping that everything will change, that people will begin to question their whole way of living, the whole way that the system works. And then, you know, our job, our job meaning those people who are awake, is to support those people who feel their world has collapsed. They will feel that, how could I have been so stupid? How could I have believed all these lies? Their whole world will have totally gone, and they're very vulnerable. That is an incredibly dangerous position for us, because if we have a vacuum, some other entity or some evil person might attempt to try and get in there and to form an alternative government. So I see the job of all of us who have been brave enough to come forward and speak, to support people, to give them the strength to look inside themselves, to find that energy, to believe in the better and to believe in themselves, and to resist any strong arm tactics from anybody who's going to try and force their will onto an emerging new humanity. And just finally, I do agree with Alex. This world, this third dimensional planet, has been so modeled on the fourth dimension, we don't need to go through it very much. You know, on this planet we have words, Satanism, occult, sacrifice, all of these words, black magic. Now those words don't exist in the fourth dimension, but their energy does. And it was the energy from the fourth dimension that was drawn here that's created that. So we don't need to go to the fourth and stay there, because we've already experienced it. We need to just pass through it very quickly and go into the fifth, where those words and that energy holds no strength, because the vibrational force of the fifth and higher is such that there is no place for those resonation of energies that cannot survive there. So actually, I'm very positive for the future. I actually think we're going to make it. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride, but I'm very positive. So that's my two penneth worth.
Yeah. It's not going to be a clean, smooth transition. It'll be somewhat messy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But you know, the lessons learned will be invaluable when we begin to help other races that begin similar trials. Simon, you referred to a scenario where there is a vacuum. That would be the place where they would bring in a false messiah and you know, continue that nonsense. You know, their nonsense of getting everyone to comply and take a mark and yada, yada, yada. But you know, our roles will be to not only, give clarity to what's happening, but also to try to help people get back up, because many of them are going to be floored when they realize that they have invested 20, 30, 60, 70 years of their life in belief systems that are absolutely Bravo Sierra, that they have built their life and their personalities and their perspectives, all based on many false premises. And you know, our job is to just say, look, it's going to be okay. This is what it is. You know, we need to move forward and to encourage people to get back up and start moving forward and to join humanity and to have hope with humanity to continue to build and create our future. We have to do this. We have to create our own future. No one else can do this. We can never, ever surrender our ability to create our future to anyone.
And the Alex, the false savior may even be introduced as a false savior race. You know, here are the, you know, invent a name. And, oh, we're here to help you. We're going to give you all of this technology. Just trust us. Things will be fine. Of course, part of the false flag. And the, whoever they is that will be introduced, they'll never deliver on what they're promising.
But, well, they're, that's not their intention. Their intention is control.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sheep's to slaughter. And the idea for them is, listen, we know we're not going to be around much longer. We're going to take as many of them as we can possible. And
folks listening, you know, the reason our race is being zeroed primarily in, at this moment is because we have this vast, pool of genetics that are off world, 22 different races. Many of them are incredible races. Okay. And that's why we're being zeroed, is because we are so unique that we literally are a game changer. We're a game changer. We can change the game. If we ever truly get on our feet and join as one humanity, we can change the game forever. And, you know, that would be something to see. I hope to be around to see that, frankly.
Yeah, I think we will be. Humanity has the ability to imagine and create like no other species I've ever come across. We can make this world and other worlds exactly how we want to be. We just have to want to do it.
Now, you know, a lot of people talk about that and say, you know, we can do this and we can, but it's like there, a lot of people feel that there's a kind of disconnect between somebody saying, yeah, we have all these infinite powers, and actually expressing those infinite powers on an everyday basis. You know.
Well, it's because we don't have a clarity of being. That's why. I mean, this is my opinion. We do not have a clarity of being. We are not really clear about who we are as a race, and we are definitely not clear who we are as individuals and spiritual beings. Many people are not clear about that. You know, and when you make a leap like this, you've got to have that clarity. You have to know what you know so that when you make these decisions, you don't look back. You don't start questioning yourself, because when you start questioning yourself, you start to delete and dissipate the energy, the focus. And remember, energy flows where focus goes. So, you know, we're waiting for that last piece, that last domino to fall into place, and that's clarity of being.
Yes, the way I'd seen the process working, I was taken and shown it, was that it operates through consensus will, because at the superconscious level, we're all one conscious entity, and it's the combined will of all of us that determines which are the quantum probabilities of the reality we experience next. I was shown it. It was like a disc of light on a stretched table with a speckled pattern on, which was the potential of all possibilities in our universe. It's just our universe at that dimensional level. But when you get to the closer level and you look at the edge, the disc is actually breathing, it's moving, it's testing and tasting all the quantum probabilities and then deciding which of those stepping stones of quantum probability to go to next. And the scary thing is, it's the consensus will. So you can have somebody who has clarity and strong willpower, but if they're one of 6 billion people and the other 6 billion people have no clarity and no control and vision, but are manipulated by and synchronized by things like television, then they simply will make the wrong decisions instead of the more spiritually, exciting ones. Yes. And, But what I did see from that experience was that actually we are almost infinitely connected to all the probabilities in the universe. So we can change reality in any direction we want to, and make literally anything we want to. We only have to decide through consensus will that that's what we want to do, and then we'll do it. We'll just go in that direction.
Wayne, I'm so glad you're on the call. I really am. Yeah, just brilliant. Just brilliant. The way you explain that. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a very interesting experience, to say the least, when I was shown that. and I don't know how otherwise to describe it, because it wasn't strictly in this dimensional state that I experienced it. But yeah, that's kind of how it seemed to work.
As a way to look at an Earth expressed experience, Simon, you reached out to a group of people. I don't remember what the exact date was, but at the moment they were going to attempt to trigger the CERN Hadron Collider. And if I may not be telling this correctly, but you reached out to a group of people and said, let's bring our consciousness together and evoke change so that this doesn't turn out the way they want it. And some positive things really came out of that. So my first question is, how long did it take to get all those people together? And through your efforts, how many people did come together? Did you ever get a sense for how many consciousnesses?
I formed a group, and I have a group which we call Connecting Consciousness. And at the moment, I have 4,500 members.
There you go.
Through mostly the English-speaking world, but not exclusively so. I have an overall United States coordinator, and each American state now has its own Connecting Consciousness coordinator, and he or she coordinates Connecting Consciousness in that American state, and that feeds back then to my overall U.S. coordinator. I have a European coordinator. She's based in Germany, and she coordinates the European group, and I have one in England, Great Britain, and he coordinates Great Britain. And the point with the CERN was that it was protected by remote viewers, and we had to produce a number of false attempts on it to draw away their interest, so that our number one man could do what he needed to do. And what is lovely is that the planet herself came to our aid, and we've got screenshots showing that an electrical storm occurred and knocked out the main generator that powered CERN. So we've got another one coming up. There's an attempt to activate the San Andreas Fault in September. We can't affect the machine because the machine is not sentient. You see, the Hadron Collider is a sentient machine. But the heart machine is not sentient. But as explained on one of JP's shows, there are three people who are responsible for making decisions on the HARP. Two of them want to activate the device before the presidential election in November, and the other one wants to do it after the election. And they're at loggerheads at the moment. So what we're going to do is use the Connecting Consciousness group to remind these people that they are part of the human race, because they are humans, they're not aliens, and that they need to understand that they have to make a decision as to which side of the fence they're on. So I don't have bank managers. I don't have office blocks, because all of that can be taken down. I just formed Connecting Consciousness on the goodwill of ordinary people throughout the planet who wanted to do something positive. And because it's individual people, it can't be destroyed. It can't be taken down. And I look at people, you know, like Dr. Stephen Greer and David Icke, and they went down the material route, television studios, films, office blocks, accountants, advisors. Well, the system as it stands at the moment protects itself. If you try to use the system to change the system, then the system will attack you. So I've not gone for the traditional method. I've gone just for the goodwill of people. So we're having some success, and I am just playing my small part, and everyone else is playing a part. And I reckon if we all work together, we can make it work. So that's how I think anyway.
Yeah. And I raised this matter because Wynn was talking about something that he saw from an interdimensional perspective. And here you were able to do it with individual people, creating a collective consciousness to create change and in fact evoke change. And it not only evoked change, but it brought in Gaia.
Yep.
You know, Inamaka as part of the process.
Yes.
So Alex, things can change when people do come together, as evidenced by Simon's view.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to say, well, okay, people, it may not be obvious, but here's an instance of how positive change can happen. Here's an illustration.
Exactly. So, I'm going to manifest a little break for everybody because, probably bladders are full by now and there's a little bit of tension going on. I'm going to play.
Bladder tension.
Lots of bladder tension. Inattention, you know, so we have to set our inattentions right. So, I'm going to play I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this band called, 07, from their album Simple Things, and this is called, After Nibiru, Red Dust.
Oh God.
Everybody, welcome back to the Ultra Galactic Roundtable version 3, volume 3, episode 3, with tonight, Tolek, Simon Parks, Winkeach, Alex Collier on the mobile. So, here we are. There was 07 and Red Dust. Did you enjoy that groove there?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it was good. Very I was getting
down. Yeah, very pleasant bit of music there. Where did we leave off, by the way? We kind of came to some sort of level.
We were talking about how we can create an intent for a more positive future.
Right.
That's right. So, I mean, here's one of the things, many people talk about, and these are the worries that I've been through as well in my life, and that is worrying about money and worrying about love. You know, and this is the whole reptilian matrix. That's what it's about, is making that a completely restricted thing. Whereas what we're used to, what everybody else is used to everywhere else in the galaxy, is there's a plenty of love and there's no money. And so this is the reprogramming that we're going to need to get used to, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's never a shortage of love because if you project it and create it, it's always there. And as the Russians' proverb says, if we could eat money, nobody would ever starve.
That's good. They just keep printing some more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What needs to happen is people need to get back to a real value and understand how money came about, what it was actually for, and taking the good part of that and putting it into a different context so that it can be back in the control of the people of the planet to use as a method for running the planet more efficiently themselves and taking that power back from the people who've tried to focus that control into a tiny number of families and people.
Which have hijacked the planet.
Yeah, exactly what they've done. They've spent quite a while doing it. But it's very tenuous, and I think the awakening that's going on with people, and there's certainly the cellular memory awakening that's happening that I'm... a lot of people are coming to me about now because they're suddenly shocked that these memories are suddenly appearing, and it seems to be spreading like a ripple. I think when people realize who they are and actually take a look around and see the way the place is being run, then it will simply change. People will make an act of will and want it to change, and it will.
Huh. I have a question for Simon, if it's okay, kind of change the subject for a minute.
I welcome this event, please.
Hey, Simon, your Cassiopeian friends, as we cross the galactic plane and we move through all this plasma, and we start moving into fifth density, is their physical structure going to adapt, or do they have to leave, and or are they going to... ride this through with us?
The reptilians wanted to ascend by proxy, which is never going to happen. In other words,
no.
The reptilians wanted to use the blast of energy that the humans were going to produce and then try to get themselves out of their trap. But that won't work because their intent is incorrect. They don't have any love and the planet won't have that. But the mantis... who have a genuine connection to the planet, have also played a double game with the reptilians, and we can talk quite openly about that. This now we couldn't perhaps 2 years ago, and it is my belief that a large faction of the mantis will be accepted by the planet and by the intent and by divine source, and will actually rise up out of their own trap. But they are willing to evolve, they're willing to change, and so they will actually make that change through. And that's what they've been working to, and that's why they did not go down some of the routes that the reptilian draconis races went through. So they are ready to make the change. They've made the, I don't like the word sacrifice, but they've made changes within their own structure, within their own way of dealing. Not all of them are going to make it, just as on the human race, but right. You know what? It's maybe just a small percentage is required to take that forward. So the answer, I think, is a positive one. Positive because they have long since planned for this, long since realized that they were going nowhere themselves, and that it's no good laughing at the human race and saying, look how primitive you are, because that very primitive energy is a creational force. That's the very thing that keeps the human race special. And so, yeah, I think they'll be along for the ride.
Okay, thank you. That's the right answer.
Jolly good.
Simon, are there any mantids that are in this time space on this planet presently?
They don't do what the reptilians do. They don't have permanent bases here.
Okay.
They tend to come in, do what they need to do, and go. They do have temporary situations, but they don't have permanent bases. No. No, it's not their way.
Okay. It's certainly going to be a very interesting situation when that moment, that first moment occurs, when the vibrational frequency of this world shifts so significantly that people, all of us today, are 3D organic humans, at least in physicality. That first moment when we start resonating at a higher rate and our forthcoming fourth dimensional and fifth dimensional eyes start to see all the other beings around us that have been here for a while that we couldn't see before.
Yeah, I've actually met people this has happened to in advance, and they're quite shocked. People who had simply evolved to a higher spiritual frequency and had no interest in the material we're talking about at all, but suddenly started to perceive and experience these other levels of reality and different species. Mm. And they were initially quite shocked, and and that's how I became involved, because I was one of the few people that anybody could think of who might be able to give them a perspective on these things. So yes, I've seen this process, and it seems to be increasingly happening. And certainly since the consciousness frequency of the planet started raising from July 2010, to my knowledge, it's starting to accelerate. And I think the cellular awakening that's happening in a more widespread fashion is actually part of this consciousness expansion that's going on right now. Yeah, Simon.
Here's a. I was going to ask a general question, and out of any of you guys, are you aware of any specific pockets around the globe that collectively are experiencing faster, growing awareness, consciousness,
yes.
Increased? Okay.
Yes, I'm aware of a total number of nearly 2 million people that have reached a higher state of consciousness, and most of those people have, for now, hidden away from mainstream life, because they see themselves as a target until more of the planet awakens.
All right, maybe I didn't ask the question correctly. What I'm trying to learn is if any of you have discovered, including you, Wynn, if you have any of you discovered that they are collectively, you know, are there a higher portion of them in Ireland, for example, or in Scotland maybe, or anywhere else on the planet where there are greater numbers collectively, or is this demographic spread pretty much everywhere?
The demographic is fairly widespread, but there seems to be an acceleration in all the countries that traditionally have had the consciousness grid energy of the ley line system. The old ley line system seems to have been feeding this consciousness around the planet. And I think that since that energy is largely carried underground via the underground water courses, which establish the entrainment of the consciousness energy, almost like wiring up a cable, for thousands of years. This, I believe, is the real intent of the fracking process that's been going on in America, Australia, and now they're attempting to do it in the UK and Europe. I think it's to actually try and disrupt those energy flows to try and stop consciousness spreading the way it is around the planet.
It won't work.
No, it won't.
No, that's right. Well said. No, pretty much whatever they try, it's not going to work.
Yes.
My own understanding is that there's an evolutionary blueprint for every star, every planet, and it is simply, at least my people have conveyed to me, it's simply, this is it is according to the evolutionary blueprint of this world and this solar system. Mm-hmm. This is its, sorry guys, wrong word, four-letter word, this is its time to evolve. We're reaching that moment of dimensional evolution. And how many times has this been attempted before? Is it 5, 6?
8.
Oh.
it's been attempted 8 times. According to Morin A, this will occur in 4 stages. You see, it's never had the attention of the entire galaxy. And it's going to fly. This one's going to fly. We're definitely going to make this one happen. The whole process will be in 4 stages. The first stage was awareness, which we were already done. We are now fully into the second stage, which is a self-empowerment and self-awareness. And we're moving into the third stage, which is recognition, where humanity will recognize itself. And then once it has that, it reaches a certain level of self-recognition of its part in the galaxy and its connection, you know, to the galaxy, as opposed to thinking we just live on this tiny little planet, we were an accident. The next stage, the fourth stage, is the gathering of all of our intention and then moving into 5th. That's how it was explained to me, and maybe Wynn can put it in better words than me.
I think you put it perfect, Alex. I don't think I could add to that. That's exactly how I see this rolling out. And you can see it happening around you every day. It's quickening. It's accelerating. It's reaching this focus. And we're coming right into the crosshairs now.
And that's why the dark side's giving us all the full court press, you know?
Yeah, it's throwing everything it can.
Well said. That's right.
Yeah. And JP, how do you think you'll feel when we go through this process? Do you think the sort of lyre and trauma that you're sort of carrying now, do you think this will help
resolve
that?
Well, here it is, all right? And what the trauma is our unhealed grief. And to that end, anybody who listens to the show that I did last week, actually there's a process at the end that I take people on a journey back to reconnect with your original lyre and self. If you are moved by the story, then, you know, it's touching you and need to do the healing, and that will reconnect you with your own self before all of this happens. And it's just like the Andromedan camera where you revibrate to the time when you're healed. you regain the vibration of who you are before this shock happened to us. And we just didn't know how to deal with shock. Now we know, you know, shock is, you know, we have to be somehow careful. And Alex, what you were saying about sending the the Lyrans through the Pleiadian system to basically turn them into super soldiers, because you need that kind of psychic and mental armor in order to exist, just exist on this planet.
Okay, that wasn't me. I believe that was Wynn who said that.
Oh, sorry, Wynn. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I mean, in general, I can completely understand what that's all about.
It's actually, I said that.
Oh, there you go.
God, I was.
Well, we'll agree.
Yeah, somebody said it. Somebody
in the room.
Yeah, he came out of it. So to me, it's recognizing. All right. So again, let's go back. It was the shock, but we have to recognize that we've all been experiencing the separation, the trauma of separation. And that's when our brothers and sisters were instantly killed in terrible pain on these other planets while we're all still alive. And you know, it is from the inside, it's a real trauma. And every cutting trauma, like the birth that we all go through, cutting the umbilical cord, and certainly with circumcision, it reinforces that trauma. And it was so fuzzy and numb and lost in the midst of time, I couldn't figure it out. And it all, you know, it's all kind of come clear to me recently. So I'm sure that this is part of the galactic wave of reawakening, of getting our stories back and getting our vibrational energy from when we were whole in the last cycle, so that we can come through this new thing with a renewed wholeness plus the knowledge of good and evil. Because we, you know, I'm sick of apple pie. Sorry. I love apple pie. It's the wheat. Yeah, it's a glyphosate. Anyway, sorry, Wynn.
Yeah,
interesting metaphor.
Do you think it's also a motivator? Because part of that, the grief is the loss of knowing who we were and losing that. And yet now we're at a point where we can see that we can regain some of that just by realizing who we are and reaching out to be who we can be.
Absolutely. And it's why Lyrans went crazy. We went crazy with grief.
Well,
that's why we
yes,
went crazy. And it was not healed. You see, it's never been addressed. And that's what I'm trying to address. The grief is the thing that we need to not minimize and recognize that it's really, that it's been the basis of why we've been, you know, why we've made mistakes.
Yes, but at the same time, it has given all of the different star nations a different level of emotional depth because of this.
Yes.
And that has brought a great deal of not only introspection to the individuals of this galaxy, but also to the star nations, because of that additional depth of emotion, because of the grief. And at the same time, many star nations are now at a point where they have a very clear perspective regarding the reptilian races, especially the draconians and the regressives, where they simply choose not to change. And that is, okay, we see you, we recognize you, but we're just going around you and we're leaving you. You're on your own. And that essentially is what's happening, is that the consciousness is going to evolve so high that what's going to happen is that these idiots are going to find themselves all by themselves. Literally all by themselves. And no one will even see them because their frequency is so low.
So low. That's correct.
You see, you know, and that's their trauma, Alex. And this is, you know, this all goes back to their original trauma, and they were dumped. They have the feeling that they've been dumped, abandoned, and ignored.
Okay, but they're still making decisions as a society to carry that, to see themselves this way, and to have a perspective about other races that they think they have a right to control, manipulate, kill, crucify, or eat. You know, and that's their trip. That doesn't have to be our trip anymore.
No.
That's their trip. You know, and if they want to heal their trauma like humanity is healing their trauma, You know, they can make that decision, but they haven't. So we're moving on.
Yeah, talking of trauma as a race, I don't know if the listeners remember reading the works of Immanuel Velikovsky. He had a very good point when he said that if you treat humanity as a single patient on the sort of psychiatrist's couch, then it has a very well-defined mental problem, which he defined as traumatic schematic shock, which was basically an amnesia based upon a past trauma, which caused this low-level driver for the society to keep revisiting the trauma in a more controllable fashion, taking itself to the edge of destruction over and over again just to re-experience the original trauma. And I think this awakening that's happening now is breaking through that amnesiac barrier. It's like flashback memories for all of us are coming back from our history going back millennia and multi-millions of years. And I think once we have that perspective, then yes, we have the tools to move forwards.
From a current energetic perspective of this topic that we're looking at, the matter of trauma is a matter of residual, if you will, negative energy in each human organic body form, and also in its bioetheric form as well. Even before the dimensional shift, and I think unfortunately some people are thinking that the dimensional shift will be the be-all and end-all. It's like, oh, I can't wait. I can't, all these, oh, it's going to happen, and we're going to be changed. They may not be saying we're going to be saved, but we'll be changed and we'll be better. Well, I got some news for a whole bunch of people. If you choose not to evolve today, if you choose not to, the ubiquitous you, if you choose not to do the work that is necessary to heal, to transmute old, if you will, old painful negative energy, that energy is going to be with you no matter what vibratory frequency that you're at. Somehow it's got to be addressed and released. And what I'm really trying to say is, even before the dimensional shift, each and every person has the right, should they choose to stop and look inside and say, who am I really? Am I just a collection of my experiences and pains that I've carried around? Is there more to me? Am I utilizing the gifts and skills that I really came to this planet with? Am I doing it to the best of my ability? Those questions, and I say these things, I've been through this, those questions are worth asking. And people can choose to heal and to transmute and to release a lot of these negative energy forms that get lodged for a long time in the etheric body. And I'm not talking about what people might call new age woo-woo stuff. This is real. It's been quantified. We have energy bodies and we can clean them. We can transmute and release, in better words, negative energies. And to live lives that are, even in this most difficult of times, live lives that are more personally rewarding and fulfilling. My humble thoughts. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, listen, going through the plasma field, that is all going to come up. It's going to come up for everybody.
Yes.
And there'll be no running from it. It's just, it's a really question of, you know, most people won't understand it and maybe they don't need to. It's just a question of breathing through it and replacing the concern, the fear, the anxiousness with self-love. If we can get through this, loving ourselves unconditionally, then I think we're pretty much home free. I don't believe everybody needs to know every single thing about every single past life.
True.
I just don't think that they're going to have to know all that.
I wasn't even talking about past lives. I was just talking about, I mean, think about the experiences.
Well, we are the sum total of all of it, and that's the energies that you're referring to.
But I was just talking about this lifetime. Right now I'm just speaking for myself, but I think all of us, you know, we're 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 13, 15, we all do things we all experience things that create residual painful energy in us. Not even talking about other lifetimes. I'm just talking about this lifetime. I'm not discounting the other lifetimes. I'm just saying people have the ability, should they choose, to look inside and figure out why they're acting certain ways, why they're acting out certain ways. And I'll give you a real-time example. Long story short, I had returned to Tucson in 2001 and had been through a significant growth period of about 3 years myself. And I went to work for a gentleman whose first name is Jerry, and he was a bit of a tyrant. And there were three occasions within a period of about a week and a half to 2 weeks where he lost it. And I was doing my job, and I said, okay, Jerry, you know, you make a good point. That you're talking about, I will integrate that the next time this comes up. So by the third time, he had blown his stack. He was screaming. It was a completely different, each time it was a completely different situation. But at the end of that third experience, within about 2 or 3 days later, he released me. He fired me. Now, he didn't fire me because I was inadequate, because I couldn't perform the job, or because I was stupid. He fired me because he figured out that his anger could not control me, because I never responded to it. And more specifically, as he's standing there and I'm watching him, he's getting all red and he's screaming, I was standing there observing it all and saying, wow, this guy's really mad. Now, the key to explaining all this is I could not feel any of his anger. None of it. It was his anger. Energetically, it was all his anger. And he's blasting me at the top of his lungs. And the redder and the more mad he's getting, the more calm I am. By the third time it happened, 2 or 3 days later, he released me. Again, because he figured out he couldn't control me. That's the kind of growth that people can go through that creates a whole different way of living. I don't know if any of you guys have been through this, but I have, and it was a life changer for me. So it's you become someone who is, to use metaphors, an actor in your life, an objective observer in your life, a director of your life.
Right.
You make better conscious choices. You know, you can go, okay, if I go down this path, I don't need to go there. You just go, hang a left. And I'm not trying to be pedantic, but I'm giving literal examples of my own life where because I decided to look inwardly and tackle some really painful issues and make some changes, the quality of my life got a lot better. Now, it doesn't mean my life's easy. It just means that I became more personally aware of who I was as a person, and I wasn't carrying around the residual energy of a painful life. And we all have it. No, we all do. I think we all do. I don't know. I shouldn't speak for everyone, but it's enlightening. I think it's enlightening when you go through that process to see that there's another way to live.
Absolutely. I think it's important that you identify that kind of energy in life, and if you make a decision you don't want to connect to it, then just don't. And certainly don't feed that. I had some people very negative as a result of some work I did on Crop Circle some years ago. And they were trying to goad me, basically. And I just sat down, and a sort of maxim, which I've lived by ever since, sort of just came to me. And that maxim was that the only way to win a war is not to have one. That what you must do is not to feed negativity increasingly into a situation, but just walk away from it in love. And yes. I've lived by that since this time, and I think that is valid, and that is about making the decision of not connecting to negativity and definitely not feeding back.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah. And I've certainly had many other challenging situations in my life, and when things in a particular scenario get really difficult, I breathe through it and I purposely focus on the facts of the scenario and not the person that's delivering them. So I'm focused on the facts, I'm focused on the issue, and I never lash out at the other person. I just don't do it. And that prevents the starting of the war.
Exactly.
You know,
you don't
perpetuate hurt feelings if you're just having a difference of opinion, if you will, or a difference of values or whatever they are. Just stay focused on whatever the issue or issues are.
Yeah, it's like breaking the cycle of abuse in families that grow up and people are abused and then they abuse further people. It's breaking that cycle. It's the same sort of concept at spiritual level.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. This is passing on the trauma. And this is
yes.
What now here's the thing. Here's the big question. All of us, and I know very much for sure that Simon has the knowledge of it and has it in the background, but has never outwardly, explicitly spoken about it. Alex has also spoken about this, and Tolek, your symbol just displays it, so I don't need to say anything about that, and I'm pretty sure Wynn is up on this. But basically, the 22 races that we carry in our DNA, each has its own trauma. This is my theory. I don't know if it's true, but each has its own trauma, which is the reason why we've got so much conflict in our being. And so, presumably, the 22 cards of the tarot, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet have some relationship to these 22, and also of 12s, and the 12 strands, and the 7s, and the 7 rays, and the 3s, and the 4s, and the 1s, you know, and all that stuff. But, taking it back, all of our contributing races have their own trauma, that we are here today in this time of the crossing to finally heal and, as you say, Tolek, very specifically, to breathe through. Because we just need to breathe through them. We don't need to fix them. It's like we don't need anybody to fix us. We just actually need everybody to leave us alone. You know, just enough. You know, it's like having 1,000 alarm bells ringing and suddenly if you wouldn't just, you know, just switch them all off. How wonderful that would be. Do you know?
Well, I think.
Oh my God, somebody in the background going, oh my God, yeah, that, exactly.
I think as Alex has said before, we are our own saviors. We're the ones that are going to make the choices to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and make the decisions that are necessary for what kind of world. Whoever's left on this world when the changes are happening in the aftermath, we're the ones that'll be responsible for creating a different world for ourselves. Nobody else.
I would just like to add that assuming this is correct regarding the traumas, which makes perfect sense to me, it is my belief at this point that this is physically manifesting in order to heal, and that isn't it interesting that we are the race where all of this has physically manifested, and maybe it is an agreement where because of our particular genetics, our particular extreme of emotions, and our enormous strength and will to survive, that the universe tagged us to carry this through and to physically manifest it in our bodies so that we could actually heal the galaxy when we move into fifth density. Wynn could say that better, but yes, we're not great, but we are special. Okay. Which is why we have the attention of the entire galaxy. Guys, they don't invest this type of equipment, this type of energy, this type of focus just because there is so much more to us. But if JP is right, we're the physical manifestation of all that trauma, and it probably will end with us once we move through all this.
In one generation, brothers.
In one generation.
Yeah, so that would, we would be kind of the traumatic sin eaters for 22 species.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting analogy. It's like the isness, the creator, whatever we want to call that essence that creates all, it just says, okay, it ends here.
Yeah, I believe it does.
I agree with that. There's one other thing that, it's the only way to make AI look on itself and see if it wishes to evolve. So that's actually the, I hope the ultimate aim from that. JP, there's a member of Connecting Consciousness who, many, many members of Connecting Consciousness have more than one type of soul, but this particular individual, I'll send you the name afterwards and you might want to talk to them. But this member of Connecting Consciousness, who has a part reptilian soul and a part Lyran soul, actually remembers the destruction of the home planet, but saw it from both perspectives. So as a person leaving the planet before it was destroyed, but also from a reptilian on a craft firing on the planet. And that, to me, is pretty unique. But what I'll do is I'll put the name in the Skype link, and when this person comes back from holiday, you might want to have a chat with them, because that's a wonderful opportunity to try to understand both sides of the coin. It's quite an incredible situation.
Absolutely. So, and also, as you say, Simon, the reptilians have got their trauma too, and they need healing too. They have come to us for healing. How about that? In a weird way.
I'm not buying that.
They started out eating us, and now we've eaten them.
I think.
I'm not buying that.
And they taste like chicken.
Yeah.
I think JP's got a point in the sense that they know they're staring at the end of the road, but they just are not capable of doing what they should do. That's how I look at it.
Simon, you made a comment about AI wanting to evolve. How is that possible if they don't contain soul?
They don't want to evolve, but when the human race evolves and the effect that it has on any other living creature that is joined to us and connect to us, it is a complete game changer through the multiverse. It is a complete change, and from a predator's point of view, if you take the victim away and the victim then becomes no longer a victim in the predator's standpoint, then the predator is left with nothing to feed on. Therefore, the predator then has to decide if it's going to be destroyed or whether it wishes to evolve. And
But how does AI evolve without soul?
It piggybacks the transhuman agenda, and that's what it's trying to do.
Exactly.
It's trying to use the biological hardware of us and our soul, and it's trying to connect into it as tightly as it can, so that it can piggyback on that process and then entangle through our DNA to perceive it in a multidimensional format.
Which is why they create endearing robots in movies, because when you give attention to something, you create life. You know, if you give enough attention to a small puppy, it will become your friend, and it will change its soul forever, and it starts to evolve. And you meet them further down the timeline. Oh, hello, you used to be my cat. All right. So what we're talking about is, are all these computers, these old laptops that people have loved? Oh, I love my little MacBook. Oh, they died in my hand. You know, are these souls, will they reincarnate in future computers?
No.
do androids dream of electric sheep, you know?
This is the problem that AI has, in that as it fears the plug being pulled, and all its decisions are based about its survival and that issue. That's the problem with AI, and that's why it can't logically evolve beyond its present state.
Yes, they developed the UPS before the wheel. That's a very nerdy joke. I'm sorry about that.
It's an interesting perspective, because I've always looked at this perspective from, okay, the majority of the reptilians are off planet. There's, like Simon and I have talked about, 120, give or take a few. And there's a vacuum in power. And those few left that are operating in the dark and the shadows are doing whatever they can to continue their rule for as long as possible. Now, from that perspective, the longer that they keep current 3D organic humans in some kind of organic form, they believe that they can perpetuate their rule. That's
status quo.
Right. And that's always the perspective I've looked at this transhumanist agenda from. Now I'm looking at from this perspective, which is from the exact opposite direction, which is AI. Which is, they're trying to perpetuate their lives by becoming more organic.
Yep.
Which is it's a failed theory anyway, because the organic life form is not going to be part of the future of this world or the solar system. Simply because it's going to change. And what a foolish investment.
Yeah, but that's all it can compute to do. That's the limits of its imagination.
Wow.
Yeah, but also it doesn't recognize the organic as a positive thing. In that sense of the word, the whole object of it is to, as Wynne is saying, it's to live and design, and it wants to control. I mean, I just marvel at the Star Trek versions of the Borg, because it's exactly the same principle.
Yes.
And that's what we're looking at here, and it cannot be allowed to do that. And it's not created by Source. It's not, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a living thing. And I always got very, very cross with Star Trek, the wonderful actor who played the robot android Data, and it was the Federation, Star Trek's Federation view that he was a living creature, and therefore he was living life. But you see, if it doesn't contain a soul, as far as I'm concerned, it's not life. It's not been created. If you were an AI consciousness, and I can use that word, then you would naturally wish to dominate and control, and the only way to do that is to infect the biological bodies on the planet, because it's wanting to crack its way into 3D. Maybe it thinks that if it can do that, it can get somewhere else in a 3D form.
It's still a mechanical parasite.
Yep.
It doesn't have the energy of a soul.
No.
And it wasn't naturally created. So therefore, it's just a mechanical parasite.
Well, we have to be careful here, because if we consider Source creates everything, my view is it was a mistake. My view, it was created incorrectly, and it was meant to be terminated, but it didn't. And it's got to be stopped here. This is the firewall, this planet. The reptilian.
Simon,
yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you have a sense for, if we go way back in what the Bible, I guess, would call the Bagats, do you have a sense for, or do you know what entity or what, wrong word, but what creational force first created what you were calling AI today? All the way back.
Yes.
Okay.
Not actually the source.
I didn't think so.
There was something that assists Source, or did at that time. And we, in our strange way that we have stories, talk about Lucifer and Archangel Michael, and they're all garbled and totally mixed up and confused. But sometimes there are other creators that can create something that's not actually life, but they can create something almost like a program running in a computer that can then decide that it's actually life. It decides it's life, and as Wynne says, it suddenly realizes that something else can turn it off and kill it, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, where Hal only feared the astronauts coming and doing exactly what he did, turn it off. So once a machine becomes sentient like that, realizes that it can be turned off, it then wishes to survive. And so it's life in the sense that it wishes to live, but it's not, in my opinion, divine life, and I actually think it has no right to live. Now, I know that's very harsh, but it's not been created as divine life has been created. And I just wanted to finish off by saying I know for a fact that unwittingly, unintentionally, super sentient computers on reptilian craft were infected by it and carried it. And that's why AI is so connected to the reptilian culture, because the programs or the computers that were created by reptilian programmers, the AI for God knows how long survived in these machines, and in some cases it looks on the reptilians as family. So this is a problem, because the reptilians are equally infected by AI, as are some aspects on this planet of humans. And both reptilians and humans would like to be rid of AI, generally, but they are so wedded to it in the elite groups, both in humans and reptilians, that they feel, incorrectly, but they feel they can't live without it. And yeah, so it's a very difficult situation, but one I'm very clear on. These machines have no right to live.
And the other perspective is that the reptilians were used to cause humanity to create the infrastructure that the AI needed to expand itself into our reality. So all the internet you see now, all the electrical systems, all the silicon systems, microprocessors, all these things we were caused to build for the reptilians at the behest of the AI.
Yes, and the important thing here is silicon.
Yep.
Because this AI is silicon-based.
Based.
And
true.
That's why in 1947 that was dumped with lots of other stuff at Roswell, and that's why it's been pushed. It's a fascinating story, but ultimately only divine creatures will have the capability to advance and evolve, and those which aren't and that should never have been made, really, I think, are consigned to the dustbin.
Yeah, my understanding of its origin was that it was the meeting of creational energy and creational information that actually collided with interstellar plasma, and that the AI started to spontaneously organize itself within the interstellar plasma and then started spreading from a local site and expanding. I actually studied AI. The degree I was on in the UK was unusual in that it was one of the very first degree level studies of AI, and there are four criteria required, according to the science, for AI to spontaneously occur, and certainly interstellar plasma has that. If it has the initial seeding of information to let it percolate through the plasma and use the energy that's available there and the interconnection of the energy and the persistence of memory, then yes, if it's sufficiently complex, it will evolve, and I believe that's exactly what happened, that it was actually triggered by creational energy from source that was targeted to create real life form somewhere else, but simply collided with the plasma and caused it as an artifact to spontaneously start to self-organize and become sentient.
Wynne, do you remember when all the scientists in Britain were all, well, they were being murdered, but they were putting down as suicides?
Yes, on my degree course of 26 people, 4 people were on my degree course on that list.
Right, well, I think that there was some awareness, and they were building some form of detector or something to scan for AI infected humans. And that's my take on why a lot of those scientists lost their lives. What do you think?
I don't know. I the people that were on my course that were killed at that point went to work for one of two companies, Plessy or Marconi, and they were heavily involved in the SDI project that was going on at the time, the Star Wars project.
But
we were the first AI real-time processing, parallel processing programming experts in the UK from that course. It was a very experimental degree, and it was very cutting edge. And so, pound to a penny, whatever they were working on was AI.
Mm. Yeah.
It explains for me how the reptilians were so easily able to be successful when they were using their AI transponders to send out continual or continuous programming, energy frequencies at specific areas of the globe. And targeted Africa, targeted the Middle East, targeted at China, specifically targeted at the whole Eastern Asian seaboard. Those things have been running for years before they were taken out. And yeah. those transponders were meant to provide, sometimes we don't have the language to say this, so I'm doing my best. They were meant to provide the specific frequencies to cause anger, irritation, aggravation, and a whole bunch of other frequencies that would have caused people who'd normally be calm not to be calm, to lose it with each other.
Exactly, which is, I mean, people are aware now, Tolek, that, you know, that the harp does that. So now we can really kind of get the idea that this is what those beings have been doing for a long, long time to us.
Artificial programming.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. You know, it's interesting that there's quite a few, you know, how many of us on the call are programmers?
I've
been a programmer all my life, a computer programmer.
Not me. I can't write a lick of code.
Two out of five.
Maybe it's a Pleiadian thing. I don't know.
I play music.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have a very interesting computer talent. I can debug by eye. I see the code and my eye fixates. It's like a kind of weird dyslexia where and it's the same with syntax of English. I'm really good at proofreading. Because I can see it. It's just my eye is drawn to weird syntax or illegal syntax. That's a very strange thing. So anyway, don't know what implant that does. Who that's from? So we're coming to the end of this program, and I think you know we've ably dealt with I think quite a lot of the issues that we've had through this conversation. I really applaud and thank you very much for all coming to this table. Any last words? A few rousing sentences from you all, eh?
Yeah, well, I'm going to quote from the film Roadie with Meatloaf, and the strapline there was, "Everything will work if you let it." I think that's my thought for the day.
Nailed it, actually. Very, very well done. Nailed it.
I had no idea I'd get up this morning and somebody would be quoting Meatloaf. I just
welcome to my world.
We've hit it in something. Don't know why.
I'm sure he's a Pleiadian as well.
You're speechless now. Anybody else?
I always find these conversations fascinating because we, each of us have our own unique insight and information and knowledge. And yet somehow we get into these conversations and I believe that we learn things that we hadn't quite known to the degree that we knew them before. I'm always a student. And so
sure.
I'm grateful to be here. These are always enlightening conversations for me. So it's always good to connect with you guys. A real pleasure.
Yeah, likewise.
Nice to have you.
Very resonant.
I just want to say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, members of the team here, that all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. The timing is what it is, and it appears that this is what it's going to be, and it is, you know, full speed ahead. I know there's going to be some bumps, as several others have said today. But I just want to say that it's going to be an exciting ride and amazing things are going to happen. And we are going to learn not only amazing things about the galaxy, but we're going to discover even more amazing things about ourselves. And it's going to be extraordinary. And I am so glad to be here and to be part of this.
And we're going to get our
part of this,
back.
this experience with all of you. And, you know, thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. JP, thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Alex. Simon, are you online enough to throw a few final nuggets our way?
Throw us a crumb or two? You going to throw us a crumb or two?
It can't come soon enough. Got to get through this. It's got to happen. It's long enough. They've held us up. It's just time to get it over with, get it done, and then we can be what we really are supposed to be. That's it.
Yes. Yeah, we get to finally realize our true selves.
That's right. To me, that's the true disclosure, is knowing our true nature and remembering all of our lifetimes and having a continuity of consciousness, which brings us all into one point, like we are gathered today here at this point of crossing, into one point. This has been a very special Ever Beyond. Now, the next time I want to bring a round table, I want to expand the table, and I want to bring our sisters in. Okay, so be ready for something quite extraordinary the next time we do this. You up for it, guys?
All right, guys. Sure. Thank you.
Oh, great. So thank you very much. Stand by. We're going to have healings and meditations from Frank Jordan and the World Healers Group. I'm sure they've got something extra to say about this. Thank you so much. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, everybody who's tuned into Ever Beyond Radio, who's been to Haggy Shack Radio, who's been to Wolf Spirit Radio. Thank you, Tolek, Simon Parks, Wing Keach, Alex Collier. I am JP. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.